Good morning. How are you doing? Excellent, excellent. Thank you. It's good. I'm doing well too. It's great to have you with us. Welcome to Bayside. We're glad you're here. If this is your first time joining us, it's a special welcome for you. We hope you feel a part of things this morning, and we're just glad you're with us. Right after the service, we'll have a little time of some coffee and some treats. If there's some of those homemade cupcakes. You see those with the little, man, you got to hit that. They got the little Valentine's hearts. You get a message on each cupcake, and it's just awesome. And so join us right afterwards, right out there for some coffee and treats, and we're glad you're with us. We hope you feel a part of it. If it's your first time, please visit the Welcome Center, the big table right on your way out the door here, and you can grab yourself a little something, a little tells you about Bayside, and a little gift in there for you as well. So hit that one on your way out. We just are coming off of a couple weeks where we focused in on some small groups, and we kind of had some sign-ups, and we knew that this was a step that we were going to be taking as a church and a very vital step for us, and boy, the response was outstanding. We have our first three small groups are pretty much filled up, and that's a good thing. And so what we did was, inside your bulletin, you'll notice that we have another one of these Get Connected cards, and this is because we already have some people, actually quite a few, that are looking forward to the next round of small groups that are going to be starting. These small groups don't necessarily have an end time. These are just going to be kind of groups that begin to form and build relationships and just kind of keep on going. And so we're going to be training up some new leaders, and we're excited about that. And so if you didn't get a chance to fill this out yet or sign up for a small group, but you would like to, that's what this is for. Just take that card. You can fill it out. You can give it to me, any of the staff, or you can put it in the little connection boxes right on your way out. We think that, I'm pretty convinced that these small groups are going to be a very key component for how we, as the bigger body of Christ here at Bayside, can begin breaking down and building some of that, like Mr. Brookmole talked about last week, that koinonia, that fellowship, that connection, that closeness that we are all created to have with one another. So anyway, that's what this is for. You can fill that out and drop that in the connection box. We are actually starting this morning now a new series, and it's called Disconnect to Connect. And I want to start a little differently this morning. I want to talk actually about three inventions. Three things that in the last 100 years or so came into our existence, into the realm of what we call life. And I think these three inventions changed everything. Three inventions. We're going to start off this morning looking at these three things. The first one was the telephone. Probably about 1876 or so, Alexander Graham Bell, you've heard of him before, he invented what we call the telephone. Now, it's a little different than maybe some of the ones that are in your pockets right now, currently, but that was the start in it. It was all connected via a wire, and maybe you remember as a kid when you'd take the two paper cups and you'd tie a wire between the two paper cups, and you know, and if you talked loud enough into the one, the guy would hear you on the other end, right? But that was Alexander Graham Bell's basic idea, was connected with a wire. And we know that really this became a pretty amazing invention. And people before the telephone could never comprehend what we now take for granted. If you took somebody even 200 years ago and placed them in our society and said, you can talk to somebody in the next 10 seconds who lives in China, they'd be like, what? No, they're in China. And you can talk to them. In fact, we can even Skype you in, so you can you can talk and see. You can communicate with this person. They'd be like, no way. This invention that we now is just commonplace, it changed everything. Phones have come a long way. They've become cellular. I think we have one of the first cell. There's a very happy gentleman, okay? He's going old school. We just took this last week, and he still thinks that's the highest-end cell phone you can get. No, I just kidding. But cellular phones have come a long way. The first one, my wife had one that was in a bag. Any of you ever have a bag cell phone? Yeah, you know, where it had the big antenna that you had to pull up, and if you wanted to talk to somebody that direction, you poured the antenna that way. Cell phones have come a long way, haven't they? And phones in general, now they're digital. The newest cell phones are pretty amazing. I think that's the new iPhone 4S. Of course, they have internet, they have calendar, applications all over the place. They have GPS units right inside of them, video cameras, still cameras. You can watch movies on them, watch television, and they even respond now to voice commands. Pretty amazing. Now, there's even some future phones that they're looking at, concept kind of things. There's one that, look at that. It's a little something that straps around your wrist, and the phone actually extends out onto your palm. And so your phone is actually the palm of your hand, and you do all your little applications right on that. Phones, the telephone, I would say pretty clearly changed everything, didn't it? Let's look at our second invention. Second invention is called something we like to refer to as the TV. The television, invented in about 1927. Everybody wants to take credit for inventing the television. There's some dispute on this, but Philo Taylor Farnsworth, Mr. Farnsworth, it really probably in the 1920s created this first. That's a big screen, isn't it? It's like that. Okay, we have phones now that you can watch TV on that are bigger than that, but that's his little first screen. Now, they've come a long way. In the 1940s, somewhere between the 40s and 50s is when they started to come into houses. And they were, if you remember those first televisions, they were a piece of furniture, weren't they, that you could actually sit on and you had everything. And it was black and white. There was no color. And if you wanted to change a channel, what did you have? There was no remote, was there? You had to actually walk up to the television. I tell my son this, he's like, what? You had to what? I'm like, yeah, you had to go up and actually change the channel. Click, 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 right? Right on the television. And we thought it was great, and we were so high tech and cool. The television has come a long ways, hasn't it? Now, of course, televisions they hang on your wall. They're thin, and they're light, and they're huge. You can get a television now that's up to 152 inches. 152-inch television, not even including what you can get on a projector. Televisions have become a mainstay. And there's some concept television. You can see that one was in 3D. This television actually becomes a part of your very room, and the whole ambiance and atmosphere of your room is about the TV and the speakers. Boy, you can crank from the play some video games and watch movies on that, right? I see some guys like drooling right here, you know. But that television actually comes right out into the midst of your living room and becomes a part of all of the whole experience of how you're living. I'd say TV's changed everything. Wouldn't you say that? Third invention we're going to look at is something very common called the computer. First ones were in a room. In fact, they were the room. And this computer, and probably about the 1930s to 40s, again, a lot of people want to take credit for creating the computer. It was invented in process. But this computer here that existed in the whole room could perform basic math arithmetic functions. That's what this computer could do. Now we can do that with a watch, can't we? You can get a watch that performs basic math functions. But if you think about life before this, you mean you could plug something in that would tell you what 368 times 222.33 would equal? They could never comprehend that you could plug something like that into a machine and it would just spit out the answer and then start storing things digitally in binary code with zeros and ones. That's the beginning, isn't it, of computers. And of course, computers have come quite a ways since then also. And now they're as thin as sometimes a piece of paper or a small book. And they've become portable. You can take them anywhere with you that you want to go. And we're, of course, connected now wirelessly to the world. And we now have connection to the entire globe via a small little tablet, if you will. They've become very powerful. We can now do quantum physics. We can do nuclear fusion. And we can look for gas and oil under the ground through computers. Almost everything that we have now in our life has something to do with computers, either in its manufacture or in its operation. The world now, wouldn't you say, was changed because of computers. IBM just created a computer that has 1.6 billion neurons and 9 trillion connections to it. One of the biggest, most powerful computers that's ever been created. Just to give you a perspective, though, on the computer versus maybe God's ability to create some connections, that computer would be comparable to about 1% of the human brain. So it's powerful and it's big, but God created the supercomputer, didn't he? But wouldn't it be fair to say, I think we have a concept computer here too. Look at that. Could you imagine that being your computer? Everything that you need connected to the world with all, it's something you can just see through and carry around like a little plastic piece of whatever. Could you imagine that? That's the concept. That's where computers are possibly going. Wouldn't you say that telephone, television, and computer changed everything? Yeah, they did. I want to take a fun little survey this morning. Please just raise your hand if one of these applies to you. In the last 24 hours, if you have talked to someone on the phone or texted someone on the phone or you have a cell phone in your pocket right now, please raise your hand. Okay. If you have watched television, a movie, or played a video game in the last 24 hours, raise your hand. Okay. If you have used a computer and or been on the internet in the last 24 hours, raise your hand. Okay, if you had the perspective that I did, it's very clear these three inventions changed everything. They changed the way we live our life. And I will take nothing away from the incredible benefit and the blessing that these three inventions were intended to and in many ways have brought to our life. These three things were very positive in many ways. And they'll always be very good ways to connect. But my question this morning is, could we be experiencing too much of a good thing? Could we have, as a culture, have moved to a point where we are now experiencing too much of what was a good thing? I want to start with a funny little verse from Proverbs 25. Of course, we know very clearly computers were not invented back in biblical days. The telephone and television were not there, but there were things in that culture that were very positive, that were very good, that were even sweet back in the day, and Proverbs talks about those things. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. What is he saying in that funny little verse? He's saying, too much of a good thing is still too much. Too much of something that brings positive aspects to your life can still be too much, and it can get to a point where it's actually disgusting. I want to start this morning with a quote. The misuse, this quote will be on a computer, laptop. The misuse and overuse of these inventions that we just talked about are hindering our spiritual growth, are hurting our relationship with Jesus, and limiting our impact for his kingdom. Now, I want to say something very clearly. I didn't say that these inventions are hindering our growth. I said the misuse and overuse of these three inventions are doing three things. I think they're hindering our spiritual growth, hurting our relationship with Jesus, and limiting our impact for the kingdom. Saying that, I believe we need to, as followers of Jesus, we need to disconnect at times to truly connect with Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for this morning. God, I thank you for who you are. Father, I thank you that you can continue to show us and guide us and lead us in your path. God, I pray now that this morning these words that I say will not be my words, but God, they will be your words, and that your Holy Spirit will do his work. And Spirit, please be with us. Move amongst us now and just help us to know, God, what you're wanting for us this morning. We love you, dear God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There is, I believe, a natural tendency, and maybe you've already felt that this morning, to defend or justify our use of these three things. Maybe this morning your mind has already went there when I made that last quote. Maybe you've thought, well, here's my why. Here's my defense and my justification of the use of these three things. And I can justify and defend my BlackBerry, which has all three of those capacities on one sweet little unit. I can defend that as quickly as anybody. Well, I need it for work. Yeah, even pastors need a BlackBerry. I need it for work, but I will tell you very quickly that I use that particular device for a lot more than just my work and the work things that I do with it. I'm not here to say, and please hear me on this, I'm not here to tell us all to get rid of all technology. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to say we need to somehow go back in time and pretend like these inventions didn't exist and live in some mysterious little commune where we all just do our thing. I'm not saying that. That's not where I'm going this morning. But I do believe we must consider the fact, and I believe it to be a fact, that we all at times need to unplug and disconnect from these three inventions, from these three technologies, to truly connect and plug into Jesus Christ. Next few weeks, I'm going to be talking about a few things. I'm going to talk about why we need to disconnect, when we need to disconnect and how we can disconnect from certain technologies to plug into Jesus. This morning, we're going to start with why. Why should we disconnect to connect? I'm going to give you two reasons why we should at times disconnect from the computer, disconnect from our phones, and disconnect from the television. Number one, this stuff is addicting. Now, you've experienced that, haven't you? This stuff is addicting. Anything that's addicting will naturally just start taking over more and more and more and more of my life. When TV was created, and I can't go back there because I don't know, but when television was created, I'm going to pick on it just for a moment. I doubt that anyone foresaw the place of prominence and importance that it would play in our life. Hasn't television taken on a great importance in our lives? It's one of the most important fixtures in our house. Let me ask you a question. What would you rather get rid of, your TV or your stove? Well, that's a tough one. The TV, we place it in the place of utmost importance. We fix all the furniture around our house so that it has a great view of the TV. We place it up on the wall, and then we stare at it for hours, don't we? And we stare at it, this television. It's continually become bigger. It's continually become clearer. It's gotten more and more and more channels than anyone ever even comprehended. Why? Because this stuff is addicting. And it's addicting for me just like it's addicting for you. It's addicting. That's what it is. Now, phones and computers are similar in their place of importance. If you think about how a computer has become more and more important, or a phone, cell phone or otherwise, has become more and more important in your life, it's very clear they are everywhere with us, aren't they? We are always connected. Always. I want to read a verse to get started from 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6:12. There's some powerful things in this short little verse. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. There's three things in this verse that we have to remember. The first one is this: all things are lawful for me. That means as a follower of Jesus, if something is not sinful, then I can do it. Then I have the right to participate, make choices that I want to make, because all things are lawful. If it's not sinful, then I can do it. If it's not clearly something that is sinful according to God's word, or something that I'm convinced God doesn't have for me to do, then it's lawful. Then I can do it. Then I have the right. That's why I'm not going to ever stand up here and say, you need to get rid of your TV, you need to get rid of your cell phone, and don't even think about having a computer with the internet. I'm not going to do that because all things are lawful for me. But then knowing that, it opens up two very important questions. The first one is, are all things helpful? Is how I am choosing to use computers with the internet, my phone, and my television, is that helpful or beneficial or profitable for me and my relationship with Christ? Is it something that is bringing benefit? Is this piece of technology helpful for me? Because if it's not helpful, then there may be a season and a time when I need to disconnect, because this stuff is addicting. And if I don't realize that this thing isn't helping me grow or helping me in my relationship with others, then you know what? Then it's probably not a season where I need to be so deeply connected. First question is it helpful? Second thing is, am I enslaved to it? Am I in bondage to this thing? I will tell you, I feel in bondage to my little phone. At times, I feel like I just wouldn't even know what to do if that thing wasn't sitting right by my side or in my pocket or somewhere where I'm at least no more than a couple steps away from it. I feel in bondage to it. Great question that I have to ask is, could I live without this thing, whatever it is, my TV, the big, wide, beautiful monster thing? Could I live without my television, my phone, or my computer, the internet? Could I live without it for a day? Could I live life without it for one day? How about for a week? How about a month? How about a year? Now you're really getting the shakes, aren't you? He's going to tell me. I'm not going to tell you anything. But could I live without it?
How about the rest of my life? Because for 5,000 years, human beings survived pretty well without any one of those three inventions, didn't they? Could I live without that for a day, a week, a month, a year, or the rest of my life? And if I can't imagine life without it, then I am probably enslaved to it. Then I'm probably in bondage to it. Then it probably has too big a hold on my life. These three pieces of technology are extremely addicting. If we don't consciously disconnect, they will consume us. They will begin to consume and eat up more and more and more and more and more of our life. More of it. And we'll be drawn to them more in more ways than it's even healthy. I want to tell you a couple things, and I think you know this. The nature of technology is that it improves. Technology and the stuff of technology, think about those three things, from the very first original little piece that was had there, that first TV compared to that newest thing we just saw up there that we were all drooling over, it's improved, hasn't it? Technology always improves. It gets bigger, it gets clearer, it gets faster, it gets shinier, it gets something more than what it was, or maybe it gets smaller and more portable and lighter. Technology is always improving. Now I want to tell you a little something about our flesh. Our flesh is never content. Ever. Our flesh always wants more. Our flesh always wants the newest, it wants the latest, it wants the shiniest, it wants the biggest, it wants the smallest, it wants the clearest, it wants the most channels. If I had 20 channels, well now I want 30 channels. If I had 30, now I want, you see what I'm saying? You know, I played that video game. I won that. I beat that thing. That thing is old school to me. And I don't want that anymore. I want a new video game. Why? Because technology is always improving and our flesh is never content. That's just the way that life is. We'll always want the newest. Listen to how Proverbs 27:20, Solomon wrote this long before this technology was ever even created. But look at the wisdom. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Isn't that true? Don't we see that with these inventions? That what satisfied me yesterday doesn't satisfy me today? The eyes of man, so whatever it is that I am looking at and focusing in on, long term I will never be satisfied with that thing. Our eyes never say enough, never have enough TV, never have enough gadgets, never have enough new. So what do we do with these unsatisfied eyes? 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul puts it this way. We look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. We change our focus. We take our eyes and our minds and our consumption off of all the shiny things that our culture is just serving up to us on a platter. And they are serving it up. They are saying, you must have 4G. You must have 55 inches. You must have an iPad. You must, you must, you must. And it is serving it up to us on a platter and saying, you need this, or you won't be happy. We take our mind off of those things and our eyes off of those things, and we put them onto the one thing that will truly satisfy. We look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. All of these things, they're not real. All of this technology that we just love so much, and I fall into that as quick as you do, but all of this stuff that we think is so much and so cool, it's really just fading away. It's not real. It's transient. But the things that are unseen are eternal. What will last? The things of Christ. We take our eyes off of all the stuff, as shiny as it is, of this world, and we fix our eyes on Jesus and his word and his work, because that's forever. Because that's the true stuff that will last. We disconnect to connect because this stuff is addicting. Second reason we disconnect from the TV, from the internet, and from our phones is because nothing compares to connection with Jesus. Nothing compares to connection with Jesus Christ. Can I please get an amen? Amen. That is the truth. Our culture will lie. This is where it is. When we connect with Jesus, there is nothing about long-term satisfaction than a true life-giving connection to the real source, and that's Christ. I want to look at a parable from Matthew 13. We need to know, all of this stuff, this technology, it's not that all of this is all bad. It's not all bad. I'm not up here to say that it's all bad. I'm going to be talking over the next few weeks of how there can actually be benefit to some of this. It's not that technology is all bad. It's that Jesus is just that good. That's the truth. The truth is not that technology is somehow in and of itself evil. It's not. But Jesus is just that much better. Let's look at these parables from Matthew 13, verse 44. Jesus is going to give two different parables explaining kind of the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and he covered up. Guy finds a treasure, finds some diamond, something really sweet, some gold. He finds it, he puts it in a field and he covers it up, which a man found and he covered up. Then in his joy, he gets really excited and joyful. He goes and he sells all that he has, sells everything. Sells his car, sells his house, sells everything he has, and he goes and buys that field because of the joy of that one little treasure within that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and again sold all that he had, got rid of it all, and he bought it. Now, these two parables have two beautiful, wonderful truths packed right within them. The first one is this. You, my friends, and I are the treasure and the pearl of great price in God's eyes. You and I are the treasure that God sold everything he had, and it was called the very life of his son Jesus. He gave up all that he had. He gave himself for you, for that treasure that he considered worth it. You are the pearl of great value in God's eyes, and I am. We are the thing that God sold all of it to acquire, and he did it for joy. Hebrews 12 says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He endured what he had to endure. He sold all that he had because of the joy of coming back into relationship with you and I. We are that treasure and that pearl of great price. And then the other side of that is now we, and this is our response to the gospel, now we sell all that we have to get the treasure and the pearl of great price of Christ himself in relationship and closeness with him. Now, when we put our faith in Jesus, we are connected. We are connected to the source when we trust in Christ. But so many of the things that we do on a day in and day out basis either build that connection or they just keep that connection just kind of a little bit going, not a great connection. But we are connected, but the things that we do and how we decide and determine to sell all the rest of the stuff that this world has to offer, he becomes then our treasure and our pearl of great price. This is a reasonable response to all that God did for us. We simply reflect him when we get rid of all the stuff. And if there's any chance that TV or the telephone or computers, if there's any chance that those things are hindering my walk with Christ, then I disconnect. Then I just disconnect from those things because Jesus is just that good and nothing compares to connection with him. Philippians 3:8, Paul puts it this way, indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth. I love those two words. This is a worth that surpasses anything else that this world has to offer, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. What is Paul saying? He's saying everything else compared to Christ I'm going to put in the category of rubbish. I'm going to put it in the category of refuse. I'm going to put it in the category of garbage. Not because it's garbage, but be compared to Christ. Because if I can gain a closeness and an intimacy and a relationship with him that is real and life-giving, all those other things will just slowly start to fade in their importance. They'll just get less and less valuable to me. It's not that technology is all bad, because it's not. It's that relationship with Jesus is just that good. I want to close with three questions. And I think these three questions we need to consider whenever we're deciding how we're going to use our time and our energy and the resources that we have. Three basic questions. And I want us to ask these questions in light of how we use specifically those three technologies. First question is, does this glorify God? Does my use of this bring God glory? We know that Jesus is our example. He's our model. He's who we are to follow our lives after. And Jesus did it all for the glory of God. Everything. Now, he lived in his culture. That's why I'm not telling us we have to somehow just mysteriously go away and not be. We can live within our culture, but are the decisions I'm making on a day-in and day-out basis bringing God glory? That's a great first question. Second question is, does this edify my life? Is how I'm using television and movies and video games and my phone and the computer, is this edifying me? Is it helpful to me? Is it building my faith? And if it's not, then that's probably an area and a time that I need to disconnect. Because if it's not building me up, then it's probably bringing me down. So those are the times when I need to disconnect if it's not edifying my life. Third question is this: does this benefit others? Is how I'm using this benefiting my family? There's some times that certain members of the family get way too into whatever this technology is, and it's actually hurting their relationship with their spouse, hurting their relationship with their kids. They are so connected into technology that they are not connected into their family. And I've seen that and I've heard that so many times. They connect into technology to the detriment of their very family. So connected that they're actually disconnected. Next week, what we're going to look at is, when do we need to disconnect to connect? We're actually going to evaluate all three of those pieces of technology. We're going to look at them one at a time, dig deep into each one. And we're going to look for signs. What is some signs? What are some indicators? It's sort of the litmus test. How do I know when I'm too connected? We're going to look at all three of those in detail. And then finally, we'll answer the question of, how can I practically disconnect to truly connect with Jesus? So why do we do this? Why even talk about technology? Why talk about these inventions? The heart of it is this: because connection to Jesus is just that good. Amen? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that you considered us to be the treasure. Lord, you considered us to be that pearl of great price. And Father, we don't feel like that all the time, and I know we weren't worthy of that. And yet, God, you looked down and you saw us and you loved us and you loved this whole world, and you cared enough, God, to sell it all, to give up your very self, your very life, God. You gave that up for us in the life of your son Jesus. And God, we thank you. We can never adequately thank you. But God, it is a very reasonable response for us to then give up all the things of this world, especially when they're holding us back and hindering us in our walk and our growth and our impact on the kingdom. God, I pray that we can know, God, when and where we can apply, God, and when and where we can begin to disconnect from some of these technologies to truly connect with you. Because God, maybe we've experienced this to some level or another, but connection to you, God, is just that good. And we thank you for that. You created us for that. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.